This injury was a doozy, not only because of the way what it was just mentally what it did to me. You know, I fell into a pretty dark place. You can turn yourself around from anything with the right help and the right support. I'm not saying you can do it all on your own, because I don't do it all on my own. I have a tremendous support system. I'm surrounded by like the most amazing magical people. They're amazing. And they love me even when I'm not, you know, so lovable. But you can turn your life around. You can always change your mind. I always tell people that people tend to, I see the people are like, they feel like they're stuck. Like people will write to me and they're like, oh, I'm stuck in this. Or I'm st-. No, you're not stuck. No one's stuck. You know, you can always change your mind. You can always change and choose a new path, make another choice, you know, and I've done that. I keep doing it.
Hello, podcast world. Welcome to episode 115 of Run Chats with Ron Runs NYC. Meet Angela Machoka, an inspiring elite Canadian Masters runner from Montreal. You're built from hard things is the episode title and perfectly personifies Angela's fire, drive, and spirit. She was in severe pain running the Chicago Marathon, and her husband and coach, Bruce Raymer, pulled her off the course at 29K, where she left on crutches with a 50% plantar fascia tear and a broken heart. Angela kept the faith through some dark moments, grinding long hours on pool runs and on the elliptical, and with a team of therapists to help her rebuild physically and mentally with a mindset coach. Fast forward 7 months later, Angela rocked a 39:19 at the Canadian 10K Champs on a super hot day, good for first age group, six female masters, and put into practice everything she's been working on. Angela's inspired by her autistic son, Noah, and the many obstacles and challenges he's overcome. Her stay in the fight moment, advocating for Noah every day. That time period, those 10 years, shaped me for who I am now. Angela credits her mom for instilling her fierce work ethic, drive, and fire. And husband coach Bruce, who changed her approach to training and passionately believes her best racing days are ahead. Angela had a 23-year career as an adult educator, working with adults with disabilities. She regularly communicates with autistic parents to help guide them as a way to give back, and is super grateful for the magical team of people that support her running journey. Hope you all are inspired by Angela's journey and enjoy the listen. Angela Machocha, good evening and welcome to Run Chats with Ron Runs NYC. How are you this evening?
I'm great. Thank you for having me. So excited.
Oh, it's my pleasure, man, to get you on. We got a Canadian runner. I always like to get runners on from around the world. And you're hitting the second sweet spot because you're an elite masters runner. So you're a two category check mark. And also the third one, which we didn't even talk about before coming on, I know you're also coming back from an injury and really getting yourself fully healthy and kind of rebuilding. So I love those kind of stories because you just ran this weekend, right, in the 10K champs?
Yeah, in the 10K Canadian championships. Yeah, in Ottawa.
And I heard it was pretty toasty up there. Like
it was
seriously
so
hot.
It was like all of a sudden super hot. It's crazy.
Yeah. So that had to be a shock to the system, right, for everyone?
It was, because we didn't have... I run well in the heat, but I didn't have time to acclimate because it's been cold here. We had frost like last week.
Wow.
So, you know, so then we got to Ottawa and it was like all of a sudden 30 degrees, which is what, 80 something.
Wow. There's so you're out there running in tights and your layers and your headbands and all the cool weather gear. Then all of a sudden you roll in and it's 80 degrees. Holy crap. That's crazy.
It was really hot. I don't think we were really prepared for the heat, in terms of like water and, water stations. But anyway, you know what? You just roll with it, right?
Yeah. Hey, listen, you're never going to get your exact time that you're looking for when you're running in those conditions. But unless I read it wrong, you were very close to your personal best. I mean, what, 20 seconds or so, 30 seconds, maybe?
My personal best is 38:48. I think I ran a 39:19. I'm not good with that stuff.
Yeah. It's 31 seconds.
I know, but I probably had a sub 38 or very close in me.
Good.
I felt really, really fit and mentally fit, but I was okay until 7K. And then the heat just got to me. ended up like running alone for a while, for long stretches. There was no one in front of me, people behind me, but no one in front of me to kind of, you know, chase. And it just slowed. The heat just got to me.
Yeah.
That's okay. It's okay. I'm very proud. I'm very proud. I'm very happy with how it all went. I'm very happy how I raced. I was able to implement a lot of stuff that we've been practicing in the past month. So it's only, you know, for me, it's like just something to build on for next time.
Great. So tell me, what were you practicing and what did you implement? What have you been working on?
Well, mainly we've been working on just staying in that hurt zone, you know, just sitting in it and not panicking, and saying, I'm okay. This is okay. I'm doing well, you know, and just sitting in it and taking it, embracing it, you know, and it worked. So I think I had trouble with that in the past, and now I've got it. So I'm really happy with that.
So it ended up, the conditions as tough as they were, it was that really, in a way, the best place to put it into practice, if you think about it.
Yeah, it was perfect. It was,
good stuff. And you were first age group. So
yeah,
that's awesome. And was
that's
this
very awesome?
Was this a race where you have masters bibs on or anything so you can see other runners that are in your age group? Because sometimes in a championship, you have that.
Yeah, no, I think we were 45 women in the elite field. But you can't distinguish who's masters and who's not.
Yeah. I think that's a cool thing to do, though. You know, if you see the other women have yellow bibs or orange bibs or something, you're like, hey, that chick is in my division. I got to take her out. Or if they see you and they're like, uh-oh, she's ahead of me. I got to go hunt Angela down. So very cool.
Yeah, I was the oldest one in the bunch, though. Oldest one out of all the women.
Hell yeah.
Which I was proud of. Yeah.
You should be proud. Come on, man. Yeah, and you rolled through 7K and the last 3K is where it got really tough. But again, working on your mindset,
I slowed, but not like as much as, you know, maybe I would have in the past, you know, I still hung on. I stayed in the fight. I hung on.
Love it.
I hung on as much as I could.
Absolutely. And was your husband satisfied? Was he happy? Because he's your coach. So you guys are a team, right?
He was so proud of me. Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah. Because he knew. He knew when I, you know, I had nothing left when I crossed that finish line. He knew. He could tell the difference when I race and I have a little bit left and when I race and I don't. So
love it. Is he out on the course? Is he out in some particular spot, like looking for you, rooting for you, or is he just waiting at the finish line? Like what was your strategy there?
This time around, well, he was with me in the warm-up area, in the elite area. And then he brought me to the finish. He brought me to the start, sorry. And then he was at the finish line. So that was good. That was good. Yeah.
Awesome.
Sometimes he's on course. Sometimes he's not. It depends. It depends where we are, what race.
Yeah. And you're feeling like at this point, you're fully, which was it Chicago where you had an injury, where you had your plantar fascia tear and all of that stuff? So I know, because you were really fit going into that. And, you know, I mean, trying to get ready for that, I meant.
Yeah. It's still a little bit harsh for me to talk about. Talk about it. Yeah. I came back on crutches, heartbroken. He had to carry me through the streets of Chicago to back to the hotel room. I worked really, like everybody does, but really, really hard to prepare for that. I was so fit. I flew through the first half like it was nothing, you know? And then I did have some pain in my foot and it was building and building. I probably should have stopped earlier, but I didn't. And then I had to stop at 29K. So that's what mile is that?
17, 18, between 17 and 18, something like that.
Yeah. Bruce actually pulled me off the course. He was like, you're, it was just heartbreaking on so many levels. It took me a lot to get to Chicago. You know, I had a great build and, everything was great. I had a few niggles here and there during the build, but you know, everybody does, you know, everything was really good. And then I had my last big, big workout. Still went super well. It's like, wow, we're done. Let's taper. And then a few days after the taper, I had to start to have some pain in my right foot, in my heel, and I'm like, but I was in taper mode. So they put me in the pool. I wasn't running as much. So of course it felt better. So, and the pain kind of went away. But before I left, I looked at my physio and I'm like, are you sure? You sure? He's like, yeah, you're good to go. You know, but I knew I wasn't. But I didn't, you know, I didn't want to, many reasons. I didn't want to disappoint people. I didn't want to even disappoint myself. I'm like, okay, we're going to go. And then when we got there, yeah, everything kind of just fell apart. So afterwards, I was kind of kicking myself. You know, I'm pretty hard on myself, too hard on myself, but I'm working on that. So I felt like there was even a little bit of shame in there too. You know, like, you know, you shouldn't have gone and you went. And then I was off. I was out. And this is 2 weeks before our wedding. So that didn't help either. Yeah, my physio had to come to my wedding. We had a lot of intervention just to get me to walk down the aisle. I was in a tremendous amount of pain. It was a 50% tear. If anybody's ever torn their plantar fascia, it's very painful. Well, imagine you're tearing your arch, you know? So yeah, 2 weeks before the wedding. Yeah. So that was rough. I had to fell into a little bit of a depression after that. Well, actually the wedding kind of kept me going. And then after the wedding, there was like the big crash. So I was off my feet for 12 weeks.
Wow.
But less than a week later, I was back in the pool running. I pool run. And then we bought an elliptical. That was my wedding present. And he's like, you're getting on the elliptical. Let's go. So, you know, there's a little less. Well, there's many lessons and all that. But a little lesson there is like, you know, there's a saying out there, like whether you win or I don't like to use the word lose, but things don't go your way. You don't dwell. You don't sit there. You get back up. You go, you know, even when the good stuff happens, don't sit there for too long. Keep working. You know, get back to work. So, and I remember the first day before going in the pool, I sat in my car and I cried for an hour. I'm like, I don't want to go. I don't want to go. I did want to go, but I didn't want to go because I'm like, no, I should be right. I was angry, right? I should be running. I don't want to go to the pool. And then, got into the pool.
Well, you have so many feelings to unpack. I mean, you know,
yeah, going, it was. And the wedding was coming. It was just a crazy time, right?
Yeah. But I mean, even going all the way back to before the race, before Chicago, that's the thing that's the hardest. When you have something a couple of days before or a week before when you're in the taper, you can't really tell because we're backing off and our body's going through some changes. And a lot of times what we think is, okay, this is taper crazy. This isn't real. Well, it is real. It ends up being something real. So I can sympathize with you. In Tokyo, I had knee pain and I just thought, this is weird. Like, I don't understand this. This is fake. This isn't real. And it ended up being something, but I didn't think it was. So I just thought, okay. And I didn't have any pain. I was able to run Tokyo okay there, but it caught up with me before doing Boston and London. But I think you learned and talked about a lot of really good things, but the fact that you had that cry before you got in the pool, man, that's therapeutic, man. You got a lot to just let it go at some point. So whether it's all in one big emotional piece or it's, you know, spread out over a period of time, you work your ass off to get that fit. You work your ass off to be ready to run a race. And then, you know, you didn't drop out at 5K, you know, 29K, you're deep into the race. You know, you made it far and you were really fit. So there's a lot there that you have to be able to let go of. And then you got a wedding on the other side of it. And you got all these people, your husband who you're marrying is your coach, your physio. You got your whole team of people that keep you upright and running. They're all there. And you're like, hey, man, I'm not sure I want to get married. I'm kidding. Of course, that's not what you were saying. But, you know, you got to go into all of these things in the right state of mind. So God bless. And, you know, your husband is getting you. I love it already. Runners, we be crazy, man. It's like elliptical is the wedding gift. I mean, how can you go wrong with that, man? Let's get Angela right back to work, man, because we got to build on that fitness, right?
Yeah. And you know, I stayed pretty fit for those 12 weeks with, I was doing like 2.5 hour pool runs and then like hours on the elliptical, hours. So it was like, yeah. And it was good. He kept telling me, you'll see when you get off this thing, you're going to get back on the road. We're just going to transfer everything. And you know what? He was right. It took a couple of weeks to get my legs back and, you know, the momentum of all that and the neuromuscular, but yeah, he was right. So no joke. You can build a lot of fitness in the pool and on the elliptical.
Hey, great, great lessons learned. It's just a huge part of our sport, man. It doesn't matter if you're a high school age runner, a collegiate runner, post-collegiate, masters, like us, doesn't matter. Running and injuries are just part of it, man. And we're constantly trying to keep ourselves healthy between prehab and strength work and getting on the table with people, whether that's a massage therapist doing deep tissue work, maybe you're doing dry needling, you might be going to a sports chiro, or you might be doing all of the above, like me. Yes, all the above. Check all the above, the e-box. But I don't know if we need to, but for me, like, I know that I can train harder and put more into my training when I'm doing those other things. If I start to slack in some of those areas, you know, don't you feel like if you slack, then okay, now maybe you're more susceptible to injury? Don't you feel that possibly?
Well, I see all those things. Like, I have 5 people that take care of me. That's what I call them. My osteo, my chiro, my reflexologist, massage therapist. Who else? And my physio. I see it like, you know, like you're a car. You got to bring it in for tune-ups. It's just maintenance, and it's self-care also. So I'm not saying that you have to go every week, but
yeah.
And I know when I have to see who. I'm like, okay, it's time to see Sean. Okay, it's time to see Kevin. It's time to see Alicia. You know? So like, I'm once every 10 days, I'm seeing somebody. I'm doing, yeah. Well, when I was rehabbing my foot, I was doing physio twice a week.
Yeah, you have to aggressively stay after something like that.
But now we're down. Now we're down to every 2 weeks. So it depends, you know.
Yeah, but it's also important mentally, because you're training. You're building your mileage back up. You're coming back from an injury. You're rebuilding the house again, the foundation, if you will. So it's so important. And, you know, that's a lesson I always want to share with everybody who listens to these episodes. It isn't just you. It's me. It's anyone. When you're injured, there's no shortcuts, man. When you come back, forget about getting back to what mileage you were at. Forget about what paces you were training at. Forget about what your tempo runs were. Forget about any of that stuff. Think about the absolute basics. What do I need to do? If you're injured, everything starts from the ground up, right? In your case, it was a foot injury. Mine is a knee. Someone else, it's a hip or a sacrum or some other thing, a femur. Like, it all starts from the ground up. So what can you do to either work on your flexibility, your strength, or combinations of both? And, you know, that's what's going to help you, me, or the next runner, you know, really stabilize and get healthy before you start a true build up to whatever your next big goal race is.
Yeah. I always say focus on what you can do at that, in that time. Everything else will come. It'll come. It all comes back. Your body, your brain knows it all comes back. You know, just that when you're in it, it sucks. Yeah. And it sucks starting all over, but then it's also very exciting. Like when I started over this time, I looked at it in a different way. Like I was curious. Okay. Like, and there was a part of me that wasn't sure I was going to start again. I'm like, oh, I don't know. I don't know how much of this that I have left in me. Like after, you know, anyway, but you go through all that, right? It's a mourning process, right? And then you're like, I don't know. Anyway. Okay. Let's try again. Let's see what happens. Right. So I think you got to be curious, you know, what can I do now? What's out there for me?
I like that. Curious it's a good way of thinking about it, because it requires, you really have to inspect, what you've been doing before. You know, you have your coach, so that's you and your husband together. You know, if you're coaching yourself, you know, what are you taking your logs out? What were you doing? Where were you running? What kind of surfaces were you running on? What shoes were you using? Were you rotating them? Were you getting worked on? Do you need to get worked on more, less? Like, there's just so many ways you have to like take it apart, to figure out, okay, where did this thing go wrong? And in your case, like Chicago, it didn't go wrong.
Sometimes you won't find the answers. No. That's the thing. Sometimes you can do, you know, like my osteopath said to me, he's like, Angela, what more do you want to do? Like, you do everything. Like, honest to God, like, stop.
Yeah.
Just stop beating yourself. Stop beating yourself up. Like, it was a shitty thing that happened, and it happened. You know, but there was a lesson in there for me, is that, you know, sometimes we rely on other people to tell us how we feel, or how we're supposed to feel, or what's going on in our bodies. And, you know, they're all human also. They make mistakes. Right. So, but we know what's going on. I know my body more than anybody. Right. So next time, if I don't feel 100%, Angela will say, no, I'm not racing. Right. It was no one's fault. I mean, like, I blame, you know, I'm not saying blaming myself, but in the end, it's you take responsibility for your own body.
Sure. Take ownership. You said it so well. No one knows your own body better than you. And unfortunately, like we said, when we get into a taper cycle, like that's where it really can screw us up. Because if that happened 6 weeks before a race or 8 weeks before a race, you probably would have reacted a lot differently. You would have just said, hey, I'm taking 3 or 4 days off, or I'm going to go get looked at by one of my people.
Or I'll go get scanned. Yeah. You know, like if we would have, because if I would have had a scan, I would have seen the tear.
Yeah.
It would have been, probably been only 10% or 20. Not even 20. I think 10, like a micro tear. But we didn't think that, you know, we're like, ah, it's fine. It's taper crazies, phantom pains, we call them, you know.
Yep.
Anyway, but getting back to curiosity, I also look at my races now with a curiosity too. Instead of focusing on like the time, the outcome, it's like, what can I do today? What's going to happen? I think it's a healthier way to approach racing, for me anyway.
Yeah, I love it. I mean, it can't always be about, you know, a personal best, because face it, as you become deeper into your master's years of running, it just gets harder and harder to continue to run PRs. I mean, and there are always going to be unique circumstances. Some people start running when they're 50 or when they're 60. So, you know, if somebody's been running for a pretty long period of time, eventually you're going to get over to the other side when you're not PRing anymore. But there's many other ways to look at it. Master's PRs, age graded times, there's all sorts of ways to judge and assess what you're running on a clock. But more importantly, what you're talking about is, how am I racing? How am I competing? You know, how am I attacking this course? Am I like getting the most out of this for Angela? Can I run this race to really fill my cup? Like, I competed, man. I freaking rolled up my sleeves and I went to work. So that sounds like more of what you're focusing on like now, which I love to learn a little more about that.
Yeah. And I think the times will come anyway. They're going to come.
Yeah. If you're doing the right things, and you certainly are, and you're looking at the whole picture, which you certainly are, they're going to come. And we're going to get a day when, you know, we get the tailwind in Boston, and it's not a monsoon.
It won't be 85 degrees.
It's not 85 degrees. I mean, my friend Roberta Groner, who coaches Central Park Track Club, you know, was going after the Masters U.S. record. And she was so fit to run a sub 230. And, you know, she ended up running 231 in Copenhagen, but it was incredibly hot there too. And, you know, she is just such an awesome runner, and she will never use anything as an excuse. Like, you had to go into the results and read other people's posts to find out how hot it was. She didn't write anything about that. Nothing, not a word. Just, you know, I went out on pace. I was hanging in really tough. I did my best, but didn't quite get my goal, what I was after. And then her and her boyfriend went off on vacation and went exploring. I think they went to Sweden and stuff. But it's cool. Like, we all process our stuff differently. Sometimes we're like, we want to just put it out there and be an notebook. And other times just like, hey, man, I'm not talking about my race. Like, the race is over.
Yeah, it wasn't my day. Whatever. Yeah. It wasn't my day. Yeah.
That's it. And sometimes it's not going to be our day. That's it. And that's the right attitude, because the next race could be the one. So you stay after it, man. You stay hungry and you keep doing the work, and the results will absolutely come, for sure. So for listeners of the show who aren't following you or don't know of you, how about you give us a little background on where you grew up as a kid, what family life was like, you know, sports, all that kind of good stuff.
So I grew up in Montreal. I now live like on the outskirts of Montreal, Quebec, not far from you. And I grew up in a traditional Italian Canadian family. I'm one of four. I'm the middle kid. My older brother and sister were really into like volleyball, basketball. My sister was a runner. That's how I started running. So I was 8 years old and she put me in my first race. So I started running because of her, because of my older sister. And I really like looked up to them. My younger brother played football, got a scholarship to the US actually. And I was really a really athletic kid. Like, I played everything: basketball, floor hockey, volleyball, which I was horrible at volleyball, but soccer. Yeah. And I was very, very athletic. Then I ran track, 1500 meters. I did that till the end of high school. And then my interest kind of changed. It shifted to like, I started strength training, kind of was starting to dabble into like fitness competitions, became a certified personal trainer, fitness instructor. I was giving Aqua fitness classes. So I did personal training and fitness instruction all through college and university. And then I got married. I got married really young. I was 23, my first marriage. And then I had my kids at 28 and then at 30. So I kind of left running You know, I was running here and there, but I was always in the gym. I was, you know, because I was still, and then I was working. Yeah. So I was working as a special education teacher, mainly in the adult sector. So I taught adults with autism, Down syndrome, all types of disabilities, learning disabilities, behavior difficulties. I was in that field for 23 years up until January of this year. What else? So going back to me growing up. So like I said, I left running for a while. That's not like I ran through university. I ran, you know, I dabbled. And then I started up again consistently when in my mid-30s, when my youngest son got diagnosed with autism. I needed something for just me, you know? So I started running again. And then competitively, I only started back, I was like 37, 38. So it was like much later in life.
So you had a huge gap in there.
Huge gap.
Big.
But always fit, always in the fitness, you know, but different.
Yeah, but hugely athletic family. Because I remember, I don't know if I heard it on another podcast or read it somewhere, your dad was a soccer player in Italy. So
yes.
Like, you guys are like,
oh my goodness, super, you did your homework.
Yeah, come on, man. I gotta do my background work, but you're super athletic family, like big time, man. I guarantee you guys, if you're playing Monopoly, somebody's probably flipping the board over at home if you weren't winning, or somebody was like going into the bank, stealing some extra cash. So you guys are all competitive. I'm sure there's a lot of feistiness. Your sister gets you in to run, signed you up for a race at 8 years old. Yeah. I love it. Yeah. I mean, it's a great dynamic. And then you don't have, you're running, but just not racing or training or that kind of stuff. You're doing other things.
Just in the gym, lifting, heavy lifting. Dabbling into fitness competition, stuff like that.
Yeah. And then, you know, with your son being on the autism spectrum, that, you know, absolutely triggers 100% the amount of stress that any parent is dealing with in a situation like that. It's just, it can be 100% overwhelming. It's all the time. And you were a special education teacher. So on top of looking after your son and taking care of him and trying to get the most out of him and help him and support him and advocate for him for things he needs, right, in his life to reach his goals and to be, you know, successful, get what he needs out of his life. You're doing that in the classroom on top of it. So it's like,
I know.
Whoa, there's like no escape here. So to me, it's no surprise that you turned back to your old friend running, because where else would you go? You needed something Angela. Like, I need some way to just deal with all of this stress, all of this anxiety, all this emotion, and everybody pulling at me too, right? Like, I'm sure people pulling at you and things and obstacles and things being thrown your way. So how did running help you, like, through those years, which are hugely challenging? Like, how did that running help you, like, navigate that?
Well, first of all, it was time just for me that I needed, because it was all about Noah. His name is Noah. So it was all about Noah. And I had a 3-year-old also. So yeah, I have two boys. Yeah. Raphael and Noah. So, and still being there for Raphael, you know, he was 3. So I said, well, you know, so it just helped. It helped me, like I said. So I had time for myself, and it was something that it was just mine. Like, I didn't have to share that with anybody, you know. And then I decided, okay, I'm going to hire a coach and I'm going to run a half marathon just for fun. That's how it all started. That's how my racing started as an adult. So I did find a coach, and I was with him for 6 years. I started to compete a little bit, like running more seriously and more, you know, and then we ended up parting ways 6 years later. And then I met Bruce, but we can get to that later. But running is just like, you know, like everybody says, it's my cosmic telephone. When I see God, when I talk to myself, same thing now. I think you also have to have other things, because then when you can't run, right? But I've learned that the hard way. But but it saved me. And I always say it still saves me from a lot of stuff in many ways.
That's beautiful.
Yeah. Like, I'm in love with it more now than ever, even after everything. And it breaks my heart a lot of the times, but I'm still in love with the sport.
Most things that we're deeply passionate about will break our hearts at some point or another. But they'll also mend them and fix them and heal us.
I always say running can heal anything.
Yeah, it's true. So Knowing some friends that deal with children with disabilities in their professional life, and also our parents, et cetera, that have some of the challenges that you faced, I know some of them personally, because they're friends, they draw inspiration from the challenges their children have had to overcome, and how many obstacles are put forth in their path, whether the education system is failing them and not giving them the things that they need. And you talk about being an advocate. So I wonder if Noah in some way like inspired your running
inspires
you today, your running today, just what he's had to overcome, the challenges he had to face.
Absolutely. This kid's a tough, he's a toughie. So he's never, when he was little, not that he lets it get in the way now, but he'll talk about it more and he'll be like, oh, you know, my autism, or I'm autistic, or I'm like this because of my autism, or, you know, but when he was younger, he didn't let it get in the way of anything. Nothing. So I look at all the obstacles he's had to overcome, like severe just the bullying he had to deal with. That was probably the worst. But I mean, and now I see him now. And like, you know, if I would have listened to the doctors and the so-called professionals then, and the teachers that he had, you know, if I would have listened to them, he would not be where he is now. Like, he's thriving. Like, you know, I never thought he would even be able to take public transportation by himself. And now when I drop him off at the train station, sometimes he gets on and I'm in tears, because I'm like, look at him. He's going downtown by himself. Takes him an hour to get there. Right. I mean, I should mention there are 3 levels of autism. So there's level 1, level 2, level 3. So he is level 1, which means he does not have an intellectual disability on top of his autism. So it's like they say, it's on a spectrum, right? But now the DSMV, the diagnostic big Bible book, has placed it like level 1, level 2, and level 3. So I just wanted to mention that. A lot of his teachers, a lot of people, you know, would put limits on him, and he busted through every one of them. So yeah, he inspires me. He still does.
That's awesome. And you know, God bless, that you, not only, you know, not only with everything that you two are doing together and advocating for him and being a mom and doing all the things that moms do, but also you're teaching, you know, you spent a long time teaching in as a special ed teacher, helping other people, you know, with different disabilities. So, God bless, man. That is noble profession, but it's a physically demanding, emotionally demanding. It gives, because when you see them do something, it's got to be the most enormously prideful feeling that you help them in any way, but it also just, it can wear you down. So I think running for you was the perfect thing to pull back in and like have it, like you said, for yourself. You know, you needed to have time and space for yourself, so that you could be the best version of yourself, not only as a person, but as a mom, you know, so that you can be healthy.
Yeah. Well, I always say, you know, you can't pour from an empty cup, never. and more, you know, like I grew up from a, you know, like I said, traditional Italian family where the women, like, you know, you take care of your family and you take care of everybody else and you forget about yourself. You know, that's how that was instilled in me, but I learned the hard way not to go that way. Yeah. No, it's not selfish for women to take care of themselves and moms to take care. They have to, you know?
Absolutely. And you have to give yourself grace and you have to give yourself permission. And so many of the moms that I have on the show that talk to me, you know, it's interesting split of the ones who would do stroller miles versus no, they don't even want to run with their own children because they literally
want to be alone.
But I mean, see, but it's right down the middle. And other ones are like, no, I want to run with my kids or multiple kids in 2 and 3 in a stroller. But you just need to have time and space for yourself. And the dads out there that help, or other, you know, in-laws, friends, anyone who can help you at those points, you know, the hardest thing is you got to be able to raise your hand and say, you can't see us on the screen, but you can. I'm raising my hand. You got to raise your hand and say, hey, I need some help. You know, I'm doing all this stuff with Noah and I'm just exhausted, but I need to run. I need to go run for like an hour. Do you think you could come over and give me a hand? So we need people that are also supporting us. And yeah, hell yeah, moms need to take care of themselves, man. For sure they do. And they need to ask for help. And sometimes we need to just know, hey, they don't need to ask. I'm just going to do this. So step up, take care of your mom, people. Look after your mom. She's a boss. You got to take care of her. So, you know. I mean, I'm still looking after mine at almost 91, and so are my brothers. And, you know, we're lucky, man. You know, just be appreciative, be lucky. And, you know, hopefully your kids are super appreciative of everything you do. And, you know, they want mom to be out there running and being a badass because she's happier when she is, right?
They're very supportive of my running. Sometimes I wonder if they're grateful for everything. But, you know, they're 19 and 16, right? So yeah. This generation, you know, they don't show their gratitudes, you know, like how we were growing up, right? But I know they are. I know. And they're proud of me. I know they are. Yeah. They don't come to my races anymore. They used to when they were little. It's hard to get them to come. And sure. Yeah, it's okay. But yeah, they're proud of me, and they, I'm not going to use the word allow, but they know Sundays I'm gone for 3 hours, you know?
Mom's on a trail and There's a dot that's moving really far away. She's now like in another province. We're not sure.
Well, what I tell you, well, before I leave, I said, I'm off the grid for 3 hours. I'll see. Yeah. And they're like, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So, as a, either high school, college, or even post-collegiately, did you have a teacher anywhere, or maybe a coach, someone you connected with, someone who was like a mentor, someone you look up to?
I really think back, it's so silly, maybe it's all cute, but I really remember my kindergarten and grade one teachers, Mrs. Harrison and Mrs. Townsend. Like, because I was a very, very shy kid, made fun of a lot, and they always defended me. I don't know. That's what just sticks in my mind. They were both very motherly, very nurturing. So maybe that's why they stuck out. And I love nature. So they were like my first introduction to nature. Like, you know, I still have a book that Mrs. Harrison gave me about wild birds. And she wrote, her writing is, I always look at it with love, Mrs. Harrison. Just, yeah.
Love it.
Yeah. So yeah, that's my elementary. And then my track coach, Mrs. LeBlanc, she passed away, unfortunately, a few years ago of lung cancer. Her I remember very well. And my phys ed teacher, Mr. Lafort, who I'm actually, well, we're still friends on Facebook. And every year we wish each other happy birthday. He was fantastic. He's a fantastic man. Yeah.
That's great. And it's important, you know, we always think it's going to be an athletic thing, but sometimes it's an art teacher or someone who really encouraged you to write. And helped you to become a better writer. We never know what it might be, but those connections, kindergarten all the way back, that's awesome.
I mean, just the fact that I remember their names, right? Like,
it's impressive. Very.
I don't remember my grade six teacher, but I remember those two.
Well, if they happen to somehow be on Instagram, you know we're tagging them in the post.
I don't know.
You can be assured of that. So what about key race highlights, PRs, meaningful moments that have shaped you?
Oh my goodness, there's so many. I think, let's go back. So 2021, when I hired Bruce, who's now my husband, I was coming back. I was coming back from a foot fracture in my left foot, and I had parted ways with my coach of 6 years. It was time for a change. And then I started working with Bruce, who had a completely different methodology, like completely different from what I was used to. And we kind of like flipped the tables on everything. So I had to learn a lot, but I also had to unlearn a lot. That makes sense.
Sure.
Yeah. So 2021, yeah, was like the PR year. You know, I started working with Bruce and everything changed, right? So, sometimes you work with people and they'll put their limits onto you. You know, so I was kind of told, oh, well, you know, I don't think you'll ever break 40, you know, in the 10K, you know, let's just stick to what you're capable of, you know, let's just. Well, I broke. I had over three minute, almost a 4 minute PR. So, that was a big highlight for me to break, ended up with the, that was when I ran my 38:48 for the first time, for the 10K. That was a big thing for me only because for so long I was told, nah, don't think so, you know? Yeah. So that was really awesome. That was a big moment. What else? I don't want to only focus on like times because that's not really
sure
all that it's about. But that so that was a pivotal moment. I mean, of course, you know, breaking 19 in the 5K. So all that happened in the same year. The end of that year, though, was my first race as an elite masters at the Philadelphia Half Marathon. I loved that race. I love Philly. They were so good to me. It's have you ever ran that race?
Yes, I have.
It's fantastic. It's so well organized. It's so fun. It's so well organized. And anyway, I love Philadelphia. So that was like surreal, you know. It was my first race as an Elite Masters. Just the whole experience. It was fantastic. Yeah. It was just a fun, it was like a pivotal moment for me, you know. I was like, wow, where am I? Oh my God, you know? Yeah, that was really, really special.
Yeah, Philly, they do a great job. The half marathon and the marathon are the same weekend. It's they really put terrific races on.
Yeah, and the crowds, it's a great course.
The course is fast. Good support and a lot of competitive runners. So you get really good battles in age groups and people running really fast times. So super cool.
Yeah. So that was really pivotal. And then last year it was, you know, all about Chicago. So just the whole journey, the whole training for it was all I did was I ran a lot.
Yeah. Well, listen,
I ran more than I've ever ran in my life.
Yeah. Yeah. And when you say you flipped the tables working with Bruce, right? So there's one side of it. So there's the expectations and that's coming through loud and clear. Belief and self-belief are like two massive pieces of like the mental piece of us getting the maximum out of ourselves in anything that we do, you know, as a parent, in business, as a runner. But when someone believes in you and has that belief, man, whether it's a kindergarten teacher, a high school coach,
yeah.
Like, so Bruce comes in and like your other coach, you know, it's not about disparaging it. Just
they think your
limit is in this range and then you're training a certain way. And then you have somebody who like has a very different viewpoint of what you can do and what you're capable of. And then when that alchemy kind of takes place and you start to have someone else really believing you, you sometimes can do way more even than you might've thought. Like, wow, this is like my limit.
This is like,
you know, so who knows, like maybe 38, you know, maybe you got 37 or 36 in there. You don't even know.
You don't know.
And the marathon, we know you were super fit, but you didn't get to finish that one yet. But you're going to get another swing. And you're half, you know, so a good experience in Philly. But really, like, what was so fundamentally different about how you were training with Bruce versus how you were training previously? Was it just more miles, less miles, more strength? Like what was different about how you guys were approaching things?
So with Bruce, we do a lot of, a lot more mileage, but slow and easy. Right. And these, speed work is kind of, we call it like we sprinkle it here and there, you know? And we do time on feet versus distance. Like, it's not like, okay, go on and run whatever 20K. No, it's time on feet. So that's how we go about things. And it's a day by day approach. Like, I don't know what I'm doing next week. I have no idea. I don't have like a cookie cutter. We call it cookie cutter program. I don't get a sheet and I know what I'm doing like a month ahead. It really is day by day. And that's how he trains all his athletes. He doesn't only have me. He has we call it a stable of athletes. And it's a very personal, holistic approach. So I kind of have a blueprint for the week, but that really changes depending on how I feel, which is fantastic. Like, you know, if we're scheduled to do speed work Wednesday, you know, I'm not feeling it today or whatever. Okay, well, we'll do it Thursday or Friday. It doesn't matter, because what matters is the overall picture. I think when you get stuck on some, you know, okay, I'm supposed to do this on this day and I don't know, that doesn't work for me.
I know exactly where you're coming from, because
I think it doesn't work for a lot of people, but they don't realize that it doesn't.
Yeah.
And it's hard to find a coach. It's not easy to find a coach that will give you that type of personal attention, right? And he doesn't only give it to me. And like I said, that's how he trains all his athletes.
Yeah.
So it's you know, day by day or 2-3 days at a time, you know, like it's not, we don't know what we're doing like 2 weeks ahead.
Well, it sounds like you have a voice, so you have a say, which is always important.
Yeah.
So you have the ability to, you know, substitute, change, or just say, hey, I'm not ready for a hard day today.
Yeah, you're running it's a partnership, right? It should be. Like, it should be a conversation you're having, not like, right?
Yeah. The most successful coaching relationships in life, whether it's in the running world or in the business world, are always based on like mutual trust, mutual respect. And both sides being able to say, hey, this isn't the way this presentation is going to go today. We're going to do this in a completely different manner. This isn't going to give us our best chance for success. So time on your feet. focusing way less about the watch, you know, my nice Coros over here, and about recovery is true recovery. When we're not worrying about our pace and we're not worried about what Strava says or something else, then yeah, we are really
I'm not even on Strava.
Yeah, that's cool. You know, everybody has a style with that. Some of my closest running friends are old school, still do paper logs. And I love that.
I love paper.
Yeah.
I keep a paper log.
Sure. But I mean, a paper log like Strava, it's not even really designed for you to write about your run. Sure, there's a comment section, but it's not designed for that. Like if you're really using a log, you're really going to write, hey, what did I think about on the run too? Like, hey, what was I thinking about today on this run? Like what happened today? What was I thinking about out there that maybe I helped solve some problem or I got some stress or anxiety off my plate? And I think I am going to try this race later in the year. Like, because it's just weird how shit pops into your head when you're out there on the roads or the trails. But when you're running hard all the time and you're not recovering, you're never going to hit your peak or really hit what you're capable of. So it sounds like you have a really good plan and you guys are working well together, but also he's providing that kind of service for his other athletes too. So,
yeah.
So yeah, that's good stuff.
Yeah. I have my one day off a week, which I look forward to. I have no problems taking a day off because I worked so hard the other 6 days.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and then we have the elliptical and we have the pool. Like I still use those even when I'm not injured. They're my cross. That's what I do for cross training. So I'm doing all my mileage and then that on top.
Yeah. I think it's great. I used to make fun of like a lot of those other modalities because I just love running so much, you know, but then when you are injured, like I am now and almost back, like you do realize the elliptical, it's really good. I mean, you're using your arms, you're using your upper body, you know, you're not just
you're
pushing
still, you're
down.
Still building, you're still building your aerobic engine,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, 100% aerobic engine, aerobic capacity, all that work's getting done. But, you know, you can get a good sweat, but the arms, like I didn't realize just how much, you know, your arms, you're really using your arms when you work the machine correctly. And it's just it's a great way to rebuild. And as you said, if you have a day where, you know, hey man, what's wrong with doing that for an hour and a half versus just going out and just doing basic. And I don't want to say junk miles because I don't even like that term. I just like, to me, running is therapeutic. So there is no junk. Okay. And people used to say that in lieu of the word like easy or recovery, it's not junk. Okay. You're going out there for 90 minutes and you're going to unload and relax or breathe and find yourself, center yourself, listen to a podcast, listen to some music or listen to nothing, man, tune out from the world. Or maybe run with your bestie, man, and have a chat, you know, or run chat on the road. So are you a fan of training alone? Do you like running with other people? Do you do your hard stuff with people? That's okay. That's cool.
Alone.
That's cool.
I'm alone. Yeah.
Lone wolf.
If somebody would ask me, I'd go run with them. But I mean, it's hard to, you know, the schedules and it's just, you know, I wouldn't mind, but
yeah,
I don't really have anybody to run with. So,
and your hard sessions, same thing. You're on your own. You're doing them at the track. You're doing your thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Bruce is with me sometimes on the bike next to me.
That's nice.
Yeah. Not everyone, but sometimes.
But nice for the company, a bottle if you need it. You know, that's a nice perk to have. So, you know, marry your coach and you're in business. You know, you got somebody to ride alongside you and hand over a Morton bottle, man, when you need it. Let's go, Bruce. Yeah. Come on, man.
Yeah.
I love it.
No, but it's great. I think we do a good job because, you know, we got to change hats, right? Wife, husband, athlete, coach, you know, but I think we do well. I think it's maybe a little bit harder for him just because he's got to push me sometimes. And
yeah.
But you can ask him one day, but I think I do a good job. Wife, athlete, change hats.
Yeah, you guys seem like a terrific team, man. It seems like it's working really well. So drive, energy, spirit, like fire. Like I feel it. I know you have it. And it's obvious, like it's there and it's present. But where do you think it comes from?
It comes from my mother.
Oh,
she instilled the work ethic in us. Like there's no... Just yesterday, I spoke to her. She'll be 75 in July. What were we talking about? I think my son. I don't remember. And yeah, even now, she'll say, she's like, well, you just got to keep going. Get back up. Keep pushing. Keep going. That's how I was brought up. And she's still like that. Like she, maybe sometimes she pushed us too hard, you know? But no, it's not even the pushing. It's the work ethic. Like she drilled it into our minds and our hearts that you want something, you have to work for it. And you have to go for it. And you do whatever you have to. and you just keep at it. And life happens. Things will happen, but you just got to pick up and keep at it. Like you say, stay in the fight. You know, like that's, yeah, she's a fighter, my mom. Oh, man. So that's what that's instilled in me. And I do have an intrinsic drive, like I don't, which I'm grateful for. Maybe it comes from her. Maybe it just comes from, I don't know. Like I don't need a race to train hard. I don't need a race on my calendar. I said, I love training. I love it. You know, I'm not going to say, I don't know if I can say I love training when I love racing. I know you get really nervous and all that, but I really enjoy the journey. I enjoy it. I enjoy getting fit. I don't wake up in the morning and say, oh, I don't want to run today. Like if that happens, it happens maybe a couple of times a year. It's because like I'm not well, or I don't know. It's right after a race. I don't feel like it or whatever, but I don't, fire.
Love it. Love yeah. it. And do you enjoy sharing your running journey on Instagram? You know, just your own experiences, your racing, your training, all of it. Do you enjoy like that element? Because
That's how I started my Instagram, like a diary type of thing. I mean, I think people appreciate it. I hope they do. I think I get a lot of beautiful messages and stuff. Yeah. I do enjoy sharing it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, look, I think I like your page. That's why I asked you to come on the show. So I think some people just don't, it's not their thing. My son doesn't even do social media. That's great. I would never try to convince him to do it. It's not for everyone. But for me, I bring people along with me to my races, to an injury, to someone else who's coming on my show or whatever. And like the world opens up from that. And, you know, sure, there's always going to be some idiots here and there making some stupid comments, but you just ignore them. And you just like, Yeah, you just move past it. So love it. How about like mindset? I can tell mindset is something that you not only have worked on, you know, with Bruce and you just did and employed it in this race, but it's important to you. And also, you know, just challenges and obstacles you work with. So mindset during races, mantras, do you use them? Like self-talk, like how does that work for you?
So last year I started working with he's more than a mindset coach, but anyway, I call him my performance coach. He's from Albuquerque, New Mexico. So I've been working with him for a year. I worked with him for a year and we really worked on, because that's what I needed. I needed that last year. Well, I'd still, and continue into this year, but I wanted to start working on it last year. My mindset going into races, feeling that like I deserve to be there, because I went through a period of like imposter syndrome for a little while. That happens sometimes. I guess many people know what that is, or where it's like, oh, do I really belong here? You know, what am I doing here? You know, but no, I do. I earned to be here. It just took me a while to get to that point. It actually comes from a thing of self-worth, right? You know, had some issues with that too from my past. So we worked on that. And then this year in January, when I was coming back from my plantar fascia tear, I hired a woman named Lisa Brookman. So she's a local psychologist in the area here, and she is a powerhouse of a woman. She's fantastic. So I'm like, you have until April 20 something, I told her, to get me ready, to get me mentally fit. Cause I actually ran a half marathon in Montreal last month, and you know, cause I wanted that to be my first race back after my injury and not the 10K Canadian championships, but I had no time goal, but I ran really well. So I've been working with Lisa since January, and we mainly worked on mantras and what I should be like telling myself during races. And so I always say like my mantras change with time, because it depends on what's happening in my life. And, you know, so with this one, for the 10K, my mantra was you're built from hard things. You're built from hard things. I wrote it on my hand. I had it on my hand. I glanced at it twice in that blazing heat. But yeah, so, and even now I'm telling myself that too, because, you know, I changed career, and maybe we can get to that in a bit, but so you're built from hard things, meaning like you can do this.
Yeah, I like it.
But there was always a little bit of a doubt, you know, like that's why my racing strategy is kind of changed now, in the sense that, like, in the past, I would, I don't know, these negative thoughts creep into your head, right? And then you start to slow, and then you kind of let that swallow you up instead of, you know. So this time I didn't do that. So obviously what we're doing is working, is working. But mindset is everything. It's like, it's, you know, I know that's a thing that people say, but it's true.
Huge piece of the puzzle. And people think it's only relevant or more relevant in longer races. And that couldn't be less true. Because I can't imagine anything that could be harder than racing a mile or 800 meters or something where literally just going at it from the second you start to literally as close to you can to your full all out maximum
and you
effort.
Can't back off 1 second.
You can't. And, but I mean, to me, that would put my heart in my throat way more than getting ready to race a marathon as hard as I can or a half marathon. Because I'd just be like shitting in my pants. Like, oh God, I got to run a mile all out. I can't do this right now. What the hell? I'm not ready for this. So yeah, the mindset stuff is great. And I love when people write it on their anywhere, their hand, their forearm, a wristband, whatever.
Yeah, somewhere. I hadn't done that in years. Mm-hmm. And it was the first time I did it last Saturday.
Cool.
I'm going to keep doing that.
So stay in the fight moment. You're stay in the fight moment. You've overcome lots of obstacles in life. It can be a personal thing or it could be in a race. A stay in the fight moment for you.
Just like my journey with my son. You know, it was a long one. You know, it's like things are okay now. You know, he's doing well and all, you know, I don't have to fight as much. Once in a while, I say like dragon mom has to come out, you know, I wouldn't have to advocate for him. But that shaped that time period, those 10 years, like shaped me for who I am now, you know? So that's that for sure. And of course there's times in training and, you know, there's times probably in Chicago where I would have gotten to the point where I had to, you know, stay in it. Last Saturday, through my divorce. I mean, there's so many things, right? Through my injuries. I mean, cause this injury was a doozy, not only because of the way, what it was just mentally what it did to me. You know, I fell into a pretty, pretty dark place. So that's why when I wrote Saturday, in my post, I'm like, you know, it was everything being able to race like that 7 months later. Right. Cause I know with like plantar fascia stuff, it could last over a year. You know, good. Yeah. So just, you know, yeah, those moments and just knowing that you can turn yourself around from anything with the right help and the right support. I'm not saying you can do it all on your own because I don't do it all on my own. I have a tremendous support system. I'm surrounded by like the most amazing, magical people. They're amazing. And they love me even when I'm not, you know, so lovable type of thing. But you can turn your life around. You can always change your mind. I always tell people that I see the people are like, they feel like they're stuck. Like people will write to me and they're like, oh, I'm stuck in this. No, you're not stuck. No one's stuck. You know, you can always change your mind. You can always change and choose a new path, make another choice, you know, and I've done that. I keep doing it.
Yeah. Sometimes in life we have to pivot. And we just don't have a choice.
You have to pivot.
Yeah. And when those turns in the road come up, sometimes we just keep going straight all the time. And then eventually one time we just realize, okay, it's time to go.
Or life will send you a big wake up call.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Like, it's funny. I talk to my foot sometimes. do you ever talk to your injured knee? No, I'm serious. This works.
I may try it. Tell me what to say.
Because I know that even though it was so awful, I know that if that didn't happen to me in Chicago, I would not be where I am now. I probably would not have changed career and having the time of my life now doing it, even though it's hard. School is hard, but going back to school at 47 is not easy. And racing, I would not be racing and running like I am now if I didn't have that injury. Cause it changed everything. Cause when I started back again, I'm like, okay, well, if we start back again, if you're going to do that, if you're going to continue to do this at this level, this has to change. Otherwise we're done. I'm like that. It's all or nothing. But things had to change.
So it forced you to reexamine
everything. Even my approach to my running, like running is a huge part of my life, but it's not the only thing in my life. And I don't want it to be, because I think that's when you get into trouble. Because it can become all consuming.
It sure can. And we need to be well-rounded and have other things.
Other things that make you happy too.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Because one thing we've learned in life is that things are going to come up and things that are out of our control and not just injuries, you know, whatever it might be, illness, you know, people come and go in our lives. Jobs change, you know, we get divorced, you know, we lose a pet, just all sorts of things affect us. But at the end of the day, running is the greatest gift for us all, because even if we're not in a great spot, even if we're not ready to race right now, you know, you had to re-examine all of it. You know, it's a huge injury to come back from. And you had to think about, how am I going to train and how am I going to do this other stuff? And then you agree to make a career change. Like, there was a lot going on there. But you know what? When that's the time to make those kind of decisions, because when we're running, it does take up a lot of our time outside of our jobs as moms and what we do. Because I just know how much extra time I have now when I'm really only doing basic stuff like band work or, you know, 60 minutes on an elliptical versus a couple of hours out running, because it's not just the run, as you know, it's getting to your run.
If
you're not running right from the house and changing and are you going to foam roll and do the other stuff? So you looked at it at the right time. And coming off a big thing like that, that is the time to do the deep examination and really re-explore the why and figure out, hey, man, am I still hungry at the end of the day? And I know you're hungry, so I know it's an easy answer. It's like, am I hungry? Yeah, I'm fucking hungry, man. I want to go out and run right now, but you know what? I won't. And I even said to you before we came on, I can tell right now I'm probably okay to run. I can tell that it's healed, but I won't do it yet. I'll push it out at least probably another 2 weeks, because in this case, caution is always going to be better off for you. And just keep doing the other things, right? That's what we have to do when we're looking to come out on the other side. And when we delay that gratification but just keep doing those other small things, you know, we're also setting our brain up to be like, okay, Angela's ready now. Because if you're not, what's the first thing we're thinking of? We're like, oh, my foot. Is it going to hold up? Like, am I going to be able to land on this foot? Is this foot going to let me down? Because you're saying you talk to your foot. Well, I haven't really talked to my knee yet, but that's probably because I haven't really gone out to try to run yet. But I will.
I will. And when I say talk to my foot, I mean like out of gratitude, you know?
Yeah. 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 Exactly. Yeah. Feet don't fail me now. I think that was like a song or a verse in a song or something.
Thank you, foot. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Gratitude is everywhere.
I do thank my body a lot, though, for everything I put it through.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, man, it's a partnership.
It's listening. Every cell in your body is listening, believe me.
Of course it is. Of course it is. And, you know, there's also the fun conversations if you ever decide to get into the ultra world, where I've done 50 and 60 milers, where like things will start to go the wrong way. And I'll just like have out loud conversations, not even caring if anybody else on the trail will be like, look, okay, this is not happening. Okay, so guess what? We still have 26 miles to go. We have a full marathon to go. And we're bailing out of here because there's no way out of this freaking swamp we're in. And I couldn't even find my way back. So guess what? We're not stopping. So let's join the party. Let's work together. Let's fix this shit. Or we're going to be walking for like another 12 hours or so.
Oh my God.
And I mean, you just have to almost make it farcical and like say it out loud. Like, hey man, guess what? We're not quitting. We're not giving up. We're not going home. So you better like stop with the calf cramps. You better stop with this twitch in my foot. And you know, of course it's always nutritional related with ultra. It's always salt or potassium or other stuff. But you know, just talking about shit out loud, I think, makes a difference. So that's why I wanted to know like what you're chatting to your foot about, because you know, or other stuff, you know, saying thanks to your body, like, man, thanks for taking care of me. I say thanks all the time, man. I know what a blessing it is that I'm still able to run and be able to run marathons, not shorter distances, because a lot of people out there can't. And you know, that's what you got to think about when you're in a tough spot and you're struggling and you're trying to come back. Just remember how many other people can't run ever again. They can't run. They're just not out for a cycle, or they can't run anymore. They just can't, and they're not going to be able to. So we're lucky, man. We can do it, and we can keep it rolling. So I know community service is something I always like to ask people as I wind out the show, because it's super important to me. And I think the runners community by and large is just an amazing place. Like, we're blessed to be a part of that. And
we're a nice bunch of people.
We are. I really believe that. And, you know, that's why I asked you about Instagram, because I could tell, you know, you're sharing your experiences. But community service is like, by sharing things we've done charitably, things we've done in the community, things you've done in your teaching past, like, it makes others think about, hey, what could I be doing? Like, maybe I could do something else, or maybe I could polish off some skill of mine that I used to do when I was in college or high school. So for you, what's something near and dear to your heart that you like to do in the community or have done before that maybe you want to get back to doing more of?
Well, I still do this now. I mean, I kind of put it out there. I don't want to advertise it, but I mean, people generally know. I do a lot of coaching for parents, mom and dads, who like with newly diagnosed kids that are on the autism spectrum. Because just navigate the system, the public system, the private system, how to go about advocating, what to say, what not to say, but you know, if you have to talk to a teacher or whatnot, what services are available out there. So I offer that. People DM me all the time from all over the world. Like, it's great. I don't advertise it, like I said, or, you know, say that I do these things. I just do it, you know? So yeah, that's the way I kind of give back, you know? I don't do any volunteer work per se. I don't do that. I did do a big fundraiser a few years back. With a gym, a local gym of mine for Autism Speaks Canada. But I never did that again. But no, I just offer like guidance. You know, I've done it all, you know, in that field. I mean, as a professional and as a mom. So when I always say, if you need anything, just reach out to me. I'm saying this here now too, you know, you want to ask me a question or how'd you get through it or anything, I'm here.
That's a beautiful, beautiful way to give back. And just for anybody that's in that position when they start, overwhelmed is the word that I would think of, probably comes to mind the most.
At first, yeah. And I kind of take it for granted because I worked in the system. So I already knew a lot, right? But I can't even imagine, parents out there that have no clue, like no clue at all. It's very overwhelming.
Yeah. So you helping them navigate and give them some direction and even just be a sounding board, just someone that they can ask a question to or talk about things with. Because obviously every school system is different. Every municipality is different of how they approach education in these particular areas. So that's a really awesome thing to do and keep doing. So awesome. And for sure, it's going to be part of our conversation. So anyone will listen to it when it gets shared out there. And hopefully it'll inspire other people to want to give back and do more in the community. So Angela, this has been so fun getting to know you. I've really enjoyed our chat the most, but I would never let you go without asking if you have maybe like one final message for the Run Chats audience to just leave with everybody, because you've been such an awesome guest.
I'm going to say, I know it's cliche, but don't give up on your dreams. Don't give up. If there's something, you know, anything could be anything, you know, anything that makes you happy, or just go for it. Who cares what people think? That too, you know, a lot of people do the comparison thing and, oh, what are people going to think thing, and just do it.
I love it. That's a great final message. And yeah, it doesn't matter if it's cliche. It's a great message, man. You chase your dreams. You don't worry about what anybody else thinks about them. And if it's important to you,
it doesn't have to make sense to anybody else.
That's it. Well, it's been an absolute blast having this chat.
Thank you so much. God bless you. Thank you so much for having me.
And getting to know you. And I know our paths are going to cross at a race somewhere. It's just meant to be. So we'll get a chance to meet up somewhere out there in a race. And as we say at the end of every episode, we tell the runners to keep lacing them up, to keep getting out the door, and always remember to stay in the fight. Wow, I really enjoyed that conversation and learned so much from Angela about her fighting spirit to claw her way back after such a major injury, a 50% plantar fascia tear. Wow, that is really difficult injury to come back from. And she faced some really dark moments getting back, and an elliptical wedding present gift from her husband and coach Bruce. I just love that, man. I got such a kick out of that. They're a powerhouse team for sure. And clearly his self-belief in her I guess, you know, some of the limits that have kind of been put on her from her other coach. Sometimes when we're working with someone else and that person's in that position to trust and they don't believe fully in us, it can really hold us back. So, you know, that's a nugget to really hold on to for any runners out there. If you're not working with a coach who really thinks you can achieve great things or maybe isn't in alignment with you and your goals, man, just pay attention to Angela, because her and Bruce connected, started working together as a coach-athlete team, and now they're married. And they're just, I think they're going to really do some great things together. I feel like they've got big PRs in Angela's future for sure. And her work ethic is second to none. And I was, you know, really enjoyed the conversation about her with her son, advocating for her son with his autism and seeing him break through barriers and achieve goals and being able to get on mass transportation, and for her to have confidence in him that he's capable of doing those things just definitely warms your heart. Also, the way she's staying in touch with other parents that are facing those challenges and really, you know, kind of entering into this world of unknown and really not knowing how to navigate it. It's great that she's giving back in that area. But I really think Angela's got a lot more PRs to come, and I think she's going to do some really big things. And, you know, that self-belief was a big thread that we pulled on, and you're built from hard things, no question about it. And she credits so much of her success to the team around her, you know, her husband, Bruce, her therapist, her physios, and her mindset coach. So we can't do it alone. None of us can. And those are some great lessons to apply from this one. So anyway, hope you all enjoy the listen. I hope you're inspired by Angela's running and how she's living her life, and can put some of those things into practice. And I hope I see you all out there grinding the miles, getting ready for your races, and chasing after your goals. And look forward to seeing you out there, my friends. Keep lacing them up. Keep getting out the door. And always remember to stay in the fight. Peace out, my friends.